You're listening to Rattigan's Rockcast, a series focused on talking about music from the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and even current. Now, here's your host, Tom Rattigan.
What is going on, guys? Welcome to Rattigan's Rockcast. I am your host, Tom Rattigan. Thank you for being on, whether that is WNYO, YouTube, Spotify, Amazon, Anchor, Castos, wherever you are. I'm glad you're on. And without those long quiet pauses, or there'll probably be more quiet pauses, but those hopefully will be intentional throughout the show. So anyway, let's go into it and all that. And so we talked about Elvis last time, and now it's time to talk about Buddy Holly. He was one of the first singer-songwriters of rock and roll. Buddy Holly's career was cut short due to a tragic plane crash that killed him at the age of 22. He could play some lead guitar and sing. His vocal style was using the vocal hiccup in many of his songs. Buddy Holly had a different appearance, unlike Elvis and his long black hair. Buddy Holly had glasses, but that didn't stop him from being a profound rock and roller. He also co-wrote a lot of his songs, unlike Elvis. You know, he wrote, co-wrote, sometimes some of his songs he didn't write on. But yeah, his band The Crickets was an inspiration for the name of the Beatles. Buddy got his start playing with Bob Montgomery, known as Buddy and Bob. They were played on the local radio station. Buddy was later signed to Decca, where he released his single "Love Me" in 1956, but left due to creative differences with producer Owen Bradley. So yeah, Owen Bradley and Buddy did not work well together. But he ended up recording in a studio in Clovis, New Mexico, with Norman Petty. This was where, in 1957, he recorded his song "That'll Be the Day," which became his first hit. He was signed to Brunswick Records under The Crickets. At Coral Records, he was signed under his name. Other hits he had were songs such as "Peggy Sue" and "Oh Boy." He appeared on television programs such as American Bandstand, High Time, The Ed Sullivan Show, and the Arthur Murray Dance Party. He also was able to create a ballad such as "Heartbeat," and also have fast songs like "It's So Easy." In 1958, he moved to New York with his wife. It was there he recorded songs that should be known as standards, such as "True Love Ways" and "It Doesn't Matter Anymore." He also recorded songs that from his apartment, like "What to Do," "Peggy Sue Got Married," "Crying, Waiting, Hoping." Unfortunately, the world will never know what the future of Buddy Holly would have been. But even though he died, his music didn't. Now, because that day is known as the day the music died, but it was the day in some ways that the music was able to still live, you know? It was still around, you know? It helped. It was the foundation of that, you know? It was just, you know, that era was gone, you know? The era of the first wave of rock, that was gone. But what Buddy Holly's legacy did added on to, of course, artists such as the Beatles. I mean, the Stones covered that "Not Fade Away." But yeah, let's talk about Buddy Holly, and the best way to talk about it is my experience that I had listening to Buddy Holly's music. Like Elvis, I got into Buddy Holly's music, and mostly a lot of 50s artists, in 2011, and that was my year of finding that music. And I gotta say, you know, when you find something for the first time, it's just this magical feeling. It's like being in love, and it's just this wonderful feeling because, you know, I'm seeing a whole new world that I never seen before in my, you know, like, in my life. You know, it's a world I never could imagine when I listened to this music, you know? And it's like, it was just, you know, music to my ears. And Buddy Holly was the way I first, if it wasn't for listening to Buddy Holly, I didn't, you know, like, yeah, Buddy Holly was the first of the 50s artists I really listened to, before Elvis, before Chuck Berry, before Little Richard, and that was due to the 1978 film with Gary Busey, The Buddy Holly Story. And, you know, I saw that on my 12th birthday. My parents were watching it, and I saw it for the first time, and you know, it was a movie that opened my eyes and made me really interested in that time, in that time period, and just like, oh wow, you know. It was, you know, just incredible. And, you know, I love Buddy's stuff, like Elvis, you know, from his early stuff before he was big, before That'll Be the Day of being his first big record. I like the stuff that he did on Decca, you know, which was, you know, Rock Around with Ollie V, Love Me, you know, Don't Come Back Knocking, Midnight Shift, you know. These songs just show that Buddy Holly was, you know, a songwriter. He had the chance of making it as a songwriter. He had a great guitar style. He just had an interesting going for him. And, you know, for him being, you know, like, even though he didn't have that star appeal in a sense that someone, maybe you would say Elvis did, you know, in a sense, you know, Buddy Holly, it didn't stop him. He still was able to come off really cool. I mean, there were so many people that wanted Buddy Holly's glasses, including myself, you know? Like, I wanted to have glasses like Buddy Holly. That was the dream on out, you know, with kids. They're like, I want to look like Buddy Holly, you know? If I need to look like have glasses, why don't I look like him? And all that. But anyway, his music is something that is really, you know, extraordinary. His band, you know, of course, you know how I talked about how Elvis was really the first band that had, you know, like, you know, with his band having like two guitars, the bass and the drums. But I honestly think, you know, because the funniest thing is, like, that's what I think, but a lot of people always say that Buddy Holly was the first, you know, to have that, which he wasn't, but, you know, he was around the first two, and, you know, yeah, so the group that he had was, you know, Jerry Allison on drums, Joby Maldon on bass, and Nicky Sullivan on rhythm guitar, who he later ended up leaving the group kind of early on in 57, which later just, it was just a trio, you know, just the three of them, you know, Jerry Allison, Joby Maldon, and Buddy Holly. But, while time Nicky Sullivan was there, you know, it was, you know, that four, you know, that sound coming out of the four of them. And, you know, what to say about That'll Be the Day that I guess hasn't been said is, of course, that guitar riff, I mean, the backing vocals, just the production on it that Norman Petty did, you know, and, you know, it wasn't in a big studio, it was in Clovis, New Mexico, you know, so it wasn't this big place at all, really, at all, but, you know, it was still a magical experience, you know, hearing that song, and still hearing it to this day, you know, and also hearing it that, you know, he was just, you know, keep in mind, when he recorded that song, he was only 20 years old. Only 20. He wasn't even 21 yet. It's amazing of what he did at that such young age. And that that time he had. He's the same age. I'm the same age that he is when he died. You know, and all that stuff. He lived a full life. I mean, that's got to be a lot of living for that time. Honestly, it's incredible what this guy did. With music and all that. And of course he had other big hit songs like Peggy Sue. Oh boy. Peggy Sue was actually the interesting thing about That'll Be Today is the story behind that was he and Jerry Allison were, you know, like trying to write a song, and they saw the John Wayne film, The Searchers, and John Wayne said in the film a lot of the time, "That'll be the day, that'll be the day." And then, you know, it was like, you know, when are we going to write a hit? Well, that'll be the day. So that's how that came about. Peggy Sue would be their second big hit. Now, Peggy Sue was a different story. Peggy Sue was actually going to be called Cindy Lou. Now, the movie of Buddy Holly's story got it wrong. Cindy Lou was not named after Buddy Holly's girlfriend. It was actually, he wrote it for his niece, actually. But Jerry Allison asked if he could change it to Peggy Sue, a girl that he liked, who he ended up actually marrying. And so that's how that works. Which, you know, it's kind of sad because the way they show how, he's coming up with it in the Buddy Holly story is kind of cool when they're in the car. And it's sad because a lot of facts in that movie was wrong. Even though, I know that sounds strange, even though the film got a lot of facts wrong about Buddy Holly's life, I mean, mostly, yeah, I mean, 95% they got wrong. But it's still an entertaining film. And it's still a film that, you know, celebrated the life of who Buddy Holly was. And then we have also Oh Boy, which was a song that was not written by him. It was written by a guy named Sonny West and Bill Tightman. Now, and they also wrote Rave On as well, which was another big hit from Buddy Holly. And, these songs were good. They had, I'm not a huge fan of the well-polished backing vocals, they're okay. They were from a group called The Picks, they weren't actually, when Buddy Holly, but I always did wonder why when Buddy Holly performed, he never performed with them and all that stuff. Like, he never had, when Elvis performed, Jordan Ayers were there, too. But, no, Buddy Holly didn't perform with them. It was just in the studio. And the band didn't back him up during, during those performances live. They work well as just, without the backing vocals, too. But it would have been interesting to see what they would have been like live, too. And it's sad because, when I was young, I was trying to get everything I could get my hands on with Buddy Holly, like Elvis and like any other musician, especially looking up TV appearances. And there weren't that many TV appearances. And Buddy Holly was on American Bandstand, but that footage has not been saved. And there was other footage when Buddy Holly, because Buddy Holly and the Crickets performed in England in 1958, and that was a big deal because not a lot of artists were going overseas at that time. And they were one of the first artists that went overseas, and they performed in England and Australia. And, they played on the Palladium in BBC, and those were television, and those were actually, live broadcasts, but I think it was in the 70s that stuff got deleted. And also, while we're on the subject of delete, Buddy Holly, some of Buddy Holly's master recordings were also deleted during that Universal fire as well. But, other songs with Buddy Holly, that is just, so amazing too, like Every Day and all that. Songs that he did, of course, It's So Easy is a great song. It's one of my favorites of his. Think It Over actually did it. It's So Easy was actually a really big hit for Buddy Holly, and it's one of his big songs. But Think It Over actually did better in the charts than It's So Easy. It's So Easy, I don't even think, made the charts at all. What's so funny about It's So Easy, though, is that even though it didn't hit the charts, Linda Ronstadt had a bigger version with it. And, what I will say is, yes, could it be considered an insult to his memory? But you know what? No, it's not. It's not at all. It's not because, it shows you his song was able to move on from, generation to generation. And that's why it's still, that's what shows you the classic about music. Music shouldn't have a timestamp. If it has a timestamp, it's not good music, really. It's not. So I just want to say that, that even though it is a kick in the face that his version didn't get to be a hit, to show that his song still lives on no matter what, just shows you don't need a label for a song to be a hit, okay? A song could be a hit without any labels, okay? That is something I have to make clear. Now, moving on to more of, other songs, of course, I mentioned a little bit of Rave On, but also another song that Your Heartbeat also is another great song, or, with Think It Over, Fool's, the B-side, Fool's Paradise, he did a lot of great songs and all that stuff. And, you know, but he was able to come up with better songs in, you know, once he moved to New York. And actually, a song that he has always considered one of his favorites, which I think is interesting because it's such a different sound from him, and that is Early in the Morning. And that was a cover of Bobby Darin's song. And that was different. That wasn't his band, and it was a female backing group. Buddy Holly never had a song with a female backing vocals. And when you hear that song, it's like, when I heard that song for the first time, I was like, whoa, this is such a different song. And he sings the hell out of it. And it's one of his favorite songs. And, you know, does it work well? Yes! It's so, I mean, and then the sax solo on it too. I mean, it's something you would not expect from Buddy Holly, but that makes it work. So, you know, what happened? Now, some people might wonder, you know, considering Buddy Holly only lived a short amount of time, did he stay with the Crickets till his death? Well, no, the Crickets actually did break up. The Crickets moved, you know, stayed in Lubbock, Texas. Buddy Holly moved to New York with his newlywed wife, Maria Elena Santiago. And he recorded three big songs that became, you know, hits after. And a lot of them were most after his death. These songs were True Love Ways. The True Love Ways, which is a song he wrote about his wife, which is a beautiful, beautiful love song. It Doesn't Matter Anymore, which was a Paul Anka song that he wanted to record. And the song, It's Raining in My Heart, by, and those were the people who wrote the Everly Lilly Brothers songs, which were basically Felice, Brian, their names will come to me in a second, hold on a second for that, their names are coming to me, I'm trying to think, what was it, and see, I have Google right by me, so let's just Google that, and that, of course, Felice Brian, and Bodelix Brian, I don't know if I'm saying that name right, but anyway, they were the ones that, like, did a lot of Everly Brothers songs, and you know what, this song also is another great song, works pretty well, the orchestra from Dick Jacobs, is pretty good on it too, you know, but another thing I want to mention before we end, this video is Buddy Holly's apartment tapes. Buddy Holly recorded a bunch on those types of like tape recordings and all that stuff in his Greenwich Village apartment. And those songs were Peggy Sue Got Married, Crying, Waiting, Hoping, What to Do, you know. These songs were great, you know. It's like, these were, you know, I wish there were more of these tapes. And it's so cool to have this raw quality of Buddy Holly. Just Buddy Holly and the guitar. Nothing else. No backing band. Just him and the guitar. And these songs did end up becoming, you know, somewhat of a hit after, you know, like Peggy Sue Got Married being the sequel to Peggy Sue, Crying, Waiting, Hoping. Peggy Sue Got Married, because that was a film in the 80s by Francis Ford Coppola, and the original song is used as the opening title, not like, you know, the backing, because then there were edited versions with backing vocals and all that stuff. That's not that at all. It's just the original version. So, yeah. And, of course, in 1959, Buddy Holly died due to being on tour on the Winter Dance Party Tour with Richie Valens and the Big Bopper. And it was on a plane crash on February 3rd, 1959. It's been 62 years. But the music has still been going strong. Just remember, when they say that the music died that day, the music didn't die. Their legacy was able to live on through their music, and they were able to carry on other great music that came out after it, like the Beatles, like the Stones, like Elton John, like Billy Joel, through the work of Buddy Holly. that's it for today's Rockcast. Thank you guys, and please support this as always. Bye.